Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
I know you're hurt. I know you're angry. I know you don't understand why you're here. How did this happen? How can this be part of his plan? I don't know what he knows. I can't tell you why, but I know the love he shows, and his ways confound the wise, and he heals broken hearts. Broken bodies, broken minds, he heals by his love, by his love in his time. I know you feel all alone. There's no words to be spoken that'll make sense of it all. You may be standing in the rain, but the sun will shine again. You may not feel like it now, but he has you in the palm of his hand, and he heals broken hearts. Broken hearts, broken bodies,
broken minds.
He heals by his love, by his blood,
and in his time.
Jesus, I lift my eyes to Jesus.
You are the one who calms my soul, because in storms you stand in full control.
Death looks like an empty grave. Fear looks like a giant slain. Trials look like gifts of grace. When I look to Jesus,
like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Looking Up Show on this beautiful day here in Lake Macquarie. It's Wednesday, September 11. September 11.
Another devastating day for American history today. Did you watch the debate?
Yes, I did, Shell. Yes, I did. Well, no, I didn't see all of it. I saw most of it because I went out for a walk and I went out to do some voting of our own that we had here.
Yes.
Local council elections here in our region. So yeah, I listened. It was, a fascinating debate. And, I've certainly got a few thoughts on that. Did you end up tuning in, Shell?
I listened to the whole thing. It was really, really good.
Fantastic.
I think Kamala won it personally. She definitely had better arguments and whatnot, but yeah, I'd like to hear what Charissa thinks as well.
And she's just arrived out, mate. Charissa, she's got off the plane. Actually, her helicopter brought her in, just dropped her right here in the studio. So Charissa is back and we're going to welcome her right now. She has been away, as you all know. She's been to the land of Bulawanaka. She has been there and then off to Samoa. So welcome, Charissa.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Great to have you. And, well, we're going to hear all about your trip.
Yeah.
When did you arrive?
Yeah, 2 days ago, but almost near midnight. Finally got home. And then yesterday was catching up on rest, and today I feel like I'm hitting the ground running. So.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, what a beautiful day, beautiful weather.
Ah, I feel like I brought it back with me.
Was it like this in Fiji?
It was like this in Fiji, and it was after Fiji we went to Samoa as well. So
yes,
it was
yes.
Beautiful weather in Samoa.
So you've been away for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I have.
Wow, the luck of some. So we're going to hear all about that. And I'm talking about Fiji and the land of the Bulawanaka. I had some issues with my Adventist email.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this week, and so I rang up support, and I stress whenever there's any computer issues. I just have a total meltdown, totally stressed, want to throw the computer in the bin and just want to go and live in a cave for the rest of my life. No, it's not quite that bad, but I do have a bit of stress. But anyway, I rang up IT support, mm-hmm, there at the South Pacific Division, and I happened to tune in to the help IT man from Fiji.
Really?
Yeah, his name's George, and I told him to be listening in because I'm going to give him a big shout out. He did a great job, managed to get my email back up and working. But Fiji, I mean George in Fiji, guess where he was working at the time?
Where?
He was working on the beach under a palm tree.
With no coconuts, hopefully.
Can you believe it? I'm like, because I could hear, you know, like it sounded like the sea, like the waves. Like, I'm like, is this some relaxing background music?
We never got to the beach when we were in Fiji. We only got there when we went to Samoa.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we was busy in Fiji.
So tell us, how did it go in Fiji?
We had a wonderful
time. Why were you there?
We were there. So Justin was invited by the Tamavoa English Church, which is right next to the TPUM, which is the Trans-Pacific Union Mission Office. Mm-hmm. That's their church right next door. They were running an evangelistic series, and they did a church swap. They used the Suva Central Church downtown to hold the meetings because they thought it'd be a more central place. Mm-hmm. And apparently in Fiji, all across Fiji, it's like reaping month. So they have campaigns happening all over Fiji at the same time, and everybody is, it's really, really exciting. Much smaller than PNG for Christ. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is their focus at this time every year, apparently. So yeah, we were there for 2 weeks. Justin preached every night for 2 weeks. He was very busy. Judah and I went to the kids program almost all nights, and that was great. So look, the people over there are so friendly, very hospitable, very generous, and the Lord blessed. And you know, from the meetings, from the people who came, like people who were contacts, we had three baptisms. One was actually praise not the even Lord. From our meeting. There was, he actually was at another meeting that happened in another village, but he couldn't get baptized at that meeting. I think he missed the baptism because he'd been watching it online. So then he heard there was going to be a baptism at our meeting, and he showed up and was ready to be baptized that Sabbath. So the other gentleman was baptized formally in that church, in the Suva Central Church, where the meetings were held 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And but then he, you know, walked away from the Lord, did everything that he wanted to do in this world. But after 40 years.
It's wilderness. Talk about a wilderness.
Talk about the wilderness. After 40 years, he came back. Praise I'm not even Lord. Looking at the clock. I forgot we had one.
I know. This is not Fiji. Fiji is Samoa where they don't have a clock.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other lady is an amazing story, which I have to tell you after the break. But yeah, she was a beautiful testimony too.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to hear a little bit more because I want to know how it went. What the culture is like there, what the church is like there, and it's going to be interesting to hear. So, yeah, you've got a lot to share, and then we do have a lot to share. So over to you, my friend.
All right. Well, I think we're going to listen to Brooke Frentz and bring to us a song entitled Radiant. And then after that, I have so much more to share. So stay with us and be blessed.
Through your eyes you see a failure, broken and alone, someone who isn't worth it and isn't beautiful. Like you could never measure up to who this world wants you to be. Oh, that's what you see. Don't listen to the enemy's lies. If only you could see yourself through your father's eyes. You are eyes, he sees a treasure so special to him, who's created in his image, and she's free from all her sin. Perfect just the way she is, the way he created her to be. Oh, that's what he sees. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's eyes, he sees his daughter, upon whom he has his claim. And there's a seat at heaven's table, and written on it is her name. He awaits the day he'll see her, robed in white in glory. Oh, what he'll see, what he'll see. You are promise you'll never be ashamed. Darling, you're so fearfully and wonderfully made. Radiant. Radiant.
You're listening to Brooke Franson bringing to us the song Radiant, and this is the Looking Up program, and we're so glad that you're joining us this afternoon. We want to make you aware right now of today's free giveaway. We have an amazing giveaway today, Pastor Danny. There are actually 12 copies.
12?
12. We never have 12.
Well, that's because you've been away for 3 weeks, so we're making up for lost time.
Maybe. But 12 copies. That's a biblical number.
That
it's
is a good
number. It's
number.
A big number. Today, the special giveaway is a beautiful book entitled Steps to Christ. A beautiful book talking about how you can have a wonderful, meaningful, real relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you hear a lot about, you know, the Bible, you hear a lot about Jesus, and you do want to connect with him personally, then this is a book that you should get and you must read. It will be a blessing to you. We will give away the code word for this as the program continues, so stay listening. But in the meantime, we want to remind you that because this is a live broadcast, we can connect with you. We'd love to hear from you. So if you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, please text them through to our studio number, which is 0488-817-624. And of course, you'll want to keep that number, 0488-817-624. Keep it handy, close by for the giveaway when we release the code word.
Amen.
Amen. So, Pastor Danny, you want to know more about
Fiji? Yeah, I want to know more about Fiji.
Bulawinaka.
Is that how you say it? Bulawinaka.
Bulawinaka.
I've been saying Bulawinaka, so I've been saying it wrong all along.
I don't know who you were talking
to. I've got Fijian people that come to my church. They're at Bularu, and they just smile when I say it. They're probably too kind to pull me up.
I'm pretty sure I got it right. Maybe I'm wrong.
could someone out there who is Fijian tell us whether Danny's right or Sharissa right?
This is very important.
Very, very important.
There's lots of elections going on now. This is a vote.
This is a big vote. This will determine, whether I have a good day or a bad day. Is Danny's Bulawinaka correct or is Sharissa's
Bulawinaka?
Bulawinaka. All right, folks.
It's V-I-N.
So I say it's V-E-N. Venaka.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Google happens. Okay. Let's go.
We will see. All right. So, so tell us, what was it like?
Oh, it was wonderful. And so the church, everybody in Fiji that I met can sing.
Yeah, they can.
They have beautiful, beautiful musical voices. We got to tour Hope Channel Studios. We got to tour the Hope Channel radio station over there.
And your buddy Justin was on Hope Channel, I think you shared.
Yes, he was, because the team came. Mm-hmm. They packed up their cameras every day from the studio at the office and then took it down to the church in Suva Central and set up every night to run the meetings there. They do so much with so little. They don't have lots of cameras and all of that, but they do what the best they can with what they have, and it's amazing.
Amen. Amen. So you enjoyed the culture, the time there, and I understand that Judah was impacted.
He was deeply impacted. Judah, I think they say when children go to a new environment, if you go on a holiday and you're in a new place, like their minds there's a whole lot of new things to take in, and it kind of has have a bit of a development spurt. Mm. And I feel like he had one of those when we were over there, because he started speaking Fijian. It's kind of a fun language to speak. So Bula is hello, good afternoon. it's a lot of things. How are you? It means all of those things. Bula Vinaka, and then there was Naka, which is thanks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and then Mode was goodbye, like bye, that kind of thing.
Mode.
Yeah. So he picked up those words and used them correctly all the time. So that was, and he's still using those words. Yeah, wow. That was fun.
Good old little Judah. So he loved hanging around with all the little boys and girls there.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Oh, fantastic. And so that was 2 weeks. And, what sort of turnout came out to the program?
The church was amazing. Like, I think they anticipated more of their contacts would come. Mm-hmm. But regardless, they had the church themselves, church members themselves, you had probably maybe 70 or 80 of just the church coming. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, their friends that they were inviting. So I was very impressed with the church. They ran a health booth, set up booth thing outside every day, offering free meals as well to people every day. You could have your health check and then go in, and they had a health nugget section before the event. It was full on. There was a lot of work. But they did it faithfully for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And, it was a blessing.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And then you went off to Samoa.
Yes.
The birthplace of your father.
That's right. Mm. And that was a real blessing too, because Judah and Justin got to meet the rest of the family.
Oh, hadn't they been there before?
No, this was the first time for them both. So, pretty special.
That would have been really special. So you just there on holidays, just
was there on holiday, but it was quite interesting seeing the differences in different islands there in the Pacific. Samoa right now is looking pretty special, pretty beautiful, because King Charles is coming there next month.
Wow! So, yeah, I hear he's on a bit of a tour. He's coming to Australia as well.
Is he
coming to Canberra and Sydney? I think he's nice. gonna.
Well,
pop in.
When he goes to Samoa, no one's allowed to leave their homes for 10 days. I think it is, like, schools shutting down, the whole place. Everybody's sort of going into sort of a lockdown so that he can go wherever he wants in the island.
What?
Yeah, that's what they told me. Wow. My cousin said we can't leave our homes for 10 days. I guess you can, emergency things.
Yeah, they're trying to
keep the roads clear. But yeah, all the villages every afternoon, it was quite quite amazing to see. In the afternoon, you go driving around the streets in Samoa and you see the villagers all outside working to clean up their village so it looks good from the road. And it's really, really beautiful there.
This reminds me, because I've been in this series on John the Baptist in my two churches, and the passage there that John is quoting from Isaiah in connection with the forerunner of Jesus, prepare the way, make his way straight.
Mm.
That's what happened in Bible times. Before the king came into a particular place, they filled up all the potholes and made sure everything was neat and tidy. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously speaking of a spiritual sense, not a physical sense.
That's a great spiritual application from this.
Yeah, so and Jesus is returning.
Exactly.
He's returning, so we need to straighten out the paths of our heart so that the Lord can come through.
I got to preach in the local church where my family go there on Sabbath, which was, okay, we won't even go there. But that's an interesting story because of the date change.
Oh, yeah,
but
wow.
I don't want to confuse everyone. So I went there on Sabbath, preached, and I talked about the king is coming. And, everybody's preparing for King Charles. But how do we prepare for King Jesus?
What a perfect sermon.
It is a great.
You would have had everyone's attention.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, well, so you had a great time.
We had a good time. God is good.
Great time. Well, while you've been away, we've had these three powerful testimonies.
Yes, you were saying.
Yeah, we had Patrice. She was the first one. And then we had Pastor Neil Watts share his incredible adventures, in particular the plane crash, the miracle plane crash survival story that took place there in Vanuatu, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had my friend from Newcastle Uni Church that I've gotten to know over the last 12 months, who came to a mission that I ran there last year, Tom, who happens to be from Macedonia.
Yeah, I know Tom.
Oh, you know Tom.
Yeah, that would have been a fun one.
That was, I'm telling you, you had two Macedonians in the studio at the same time.
Word in.
Oh, it was phenomenal. I cannot believe that the equipment stood up to that kind of pressure.
That's amazing. I mean, were you there, Shell?
Shell was there. She couldn't believe it. She thought the whole thing was going to explode. Like two Macedonians in the room. This is unprecedented. Yeah, you know how we use that word, unprecedented?
There's a lot of unprecedented things right now.
That was an unprecedented event in Faith FM's 10-year journey.
Oh, wonderful.
The most amazing program in Faith FM's 10-year journey. Surely that would have to be like the absolute highlight.
Folks, so if you want to go back and hear it and for yourself, you can. It's up. It's on the website, wouldn't it be?
faithfm.com.au
is a podcast.
It's up on the website because my friends down there from Adelaide, Linda and her husband Ace, they listen to it because Ace is from Macedonia and they listen to the Looking Up show. So if you guys are listening, big hello to you. So they were listening to it the other day and they said, oh, we were just so excited, a Macedonian. And Ace happens to be from my dad's village.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Seriously, like Ace, if you're listening and if you're ever in this part of the world, I'm going to have you on the radio show so we can talk about the village. So we can talk about what's life like in the village.
Yes, sounds great.
So anyway, but I'm heading off to my old hunting ground when I was born. This weekend, it's all happening. I'm going to Melbourne.
Oh, what's happening?
Yeah, well, you know how I went to Townsville?
Yes.
And by the way, hi to the Townsville listeners. We've got plenty of them up there. I'm running the same program, Globalism in the New World Order, in the Seddon Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Oh, very good.
You've been
very
there, good, I'm good. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of young people there and others. So I'm going there starting this Friday night. Mm-hmm. And people, if you want to find out how to get there, if you're anywhere around Melbourne, because I know that we've got, you know, listeners there on the outskirts where we've got our radio stations. I'd love to meet you. So, yeah, go onto the Faith FM website, go onto the events section there, and all the details for the program and the sessions are there. But I kick off this Friday night, 6 p.m., with a dinner, Faith FM dinner, and then the first presentation. So that's Seddon, yeah, this weekend.
Wonderful. So well, God bless you, and looking forward to hearing how God blesses when you come back next week.
I'm looking forward to it indeed. So, and then I got Coffs Harbour in October, 17 to 19. Looking forward to that. In Boolaroo, we're running a program starting not this Friday, next Friday.
What's it about?
A health and wellbeing program. Rui and Rachel Coelho, would know.
Yes.
So, yeah, Rui's going to be talking about, he's going to share on Bible themes. And Rachel, his wife, who's a doctor, she's going to be sharing on health and wellbeing.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, a number of 6 presentations from each. So over 2 weekends, this next Friday and Saturday, and then the following Friday and Saturday. So,
wonderful.
So Boolaroo Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Boolaroo, place to be.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, so that's that. And, we do need to let our listeners know. We'll try and remember to do this at the end as well. But next week, Sharissa and I won't be on the air Wednesday afternoon because Southeast Queensland Camp will be having a live show Monday to Friday.
That's
at 3:30 to 5:30. So it's going to be live from the Southeast Queensland Camp.
Okay.
And that's going to happen Monday to Friday next week, 3:30 to 5:30. So, yeah, Robbie Bergen, one of our presenters on Faith FM and one of the individuals responsible for running this radio station, he called me up this afternoon and said, would that be okay with you guys?
Totally.
And
fine.
I said, absolutely. So I'm sure our listeners will enjoy hearing testimonies and stories from, the Queensland camp meeting. They're going to have different guests sharing different stories. So look out for that next week at the same time that we have our Looking Up show.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, so there's some of the things that are taking place. And, the weather's good.
It's good right now, but I think it's going to take another cool turn.
Well, guess what? It's going to be freezing cold in Melbourne. I looked at the weather. And it's going to be like 12 or 13 degrees.
Wow.
Like
that
half
sounds
the,
like Melbourne.
Half the temperature that it is right now.
It's taking a big drop here tomorrow too. So
is it?
Yeah, back down to 20.
Oh, 20. I'd be more than happy if we had 20 in Melbourne. So anyway, but there's been a lot happening, Sharissa, while you've been away.
Yeah, the world just doesn't stop.
It doesn't. So we've put all the the current event stories on ice. We've like just put them on hold. Yeah. I haven't dealt with.
Saved it for today.
I've saved them all for today. So I'm not sure if we will be able to get to continue our Bible study on Israel in prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
If we do have some time for that, we certainly will continue with that. But yeah, there's a lot going on. And so I was waiting. Our listeners have been waiting, Charissa, to have you come back on deck to give your valuable insights into the prophetic significance of these current events.
Oh, right.
So I've really set you up.
Yeah, you have.
So anyway, so there's a lot going on. Did you end up watching a bit of the debate that took place today?
I did.
Okay, and what were your initial thoughts on it?
Well, I was listening and with the rest of the millions of other people listening, and I was actually surprised. I thought Trump did better than I anticipated, actually. I thought he was more controlled than I've seen him before. But then when I saw the reactions of everyone, they said he was unhinged and they thought she won. Everybody's got their own opinion, so that's not my
opinion. Depending on what network was giving the analysis,
that's true.
That's how it works, yeah.
That's true.
Well, it's fascinating.
What did you think?
Well, what did I think? Well, firstly, I'm always looking out for how does this fit into, you know, the prophetic scenario that we that we know is coming down the road. But what I saw in this debate overall was the incredible polarization.
Mm, absolutely.
The incredible polarization. And if you want to divide and destroy a nation in order to set something up that is new, potentially, then there's no better way than to pit one side against another and ensure that it's toxic, absolutely toxic. And so that's what I came up with from a prophetic point of view. But there's a lot more, and we'll deal with that afterwards.
That's right. Well, let's listen to the Notting Hillbillies, Feel Like Going Home. I guess we all want to go home to heaven right now. So let's listen to that, and we'll continue right after.
Lord, I feel like going home. I tried and I failed, and I'm tired and weary. Everything I ever done was wrong, and I feel like going home. Lord, I tried to see it through, but it was too much for me, and now I'm coming home. Feel like going home. Cloudy skies are rolling in, and not a friend.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free.
You are listening to the Looking Up program, and we are so glad that you're joining us. We want to remind you about today's giveaway. We have 12 copies of the beautiful book, Steps to Christ, written by Ellen G. White. And it is just a beautiful book talking about how you can have a relationship that's meaningful, real, and powerful with Jesus Christ. If you're interested, be listening as we release the code word for this book in just a little bit. Later on in this program. And when we do release it, you can text the code word through to our studio number 0488-817-624. And that number is also for any comments, questions, or prayer requests you might have for us as well. So we look forward to hearing from you. And Pastor Danny just let us all know that he's been saving all the current events.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Of the last few weeks for today's program.
Because we need Charissa's input. Like
that, I don't know
is,
about that.
That is the
Yours
most
is very,
valuable
very
commentary.
Valuable.
We need her input. We just need her take on things.
It's because, very touching.
Oh, I'm telling you, her insights you won't find on Sky News,
nope,
CNN,
you won't find them anywhere.
NBC, ABC, CNN,
yeah,
BBC,
well,
and all the other letters.
That's right.
We thought we would give time for the various testimonies because you know what I'm like. We all know what I'm like when I get going. So
and true, there's so much in a good testimony that to share. You know?
Yeah, that's right. It was nice. It was a refresher.
Yeah.
A refresher.
That's good.
Now, hey, I've got a refreshing story for you.
Okay.
Before we get into the heavy, hectic, prophetic headlines, have you ever heard the term a cryptic pregnancy?
No.
You haven't heard the term? Well, it was news to me. This came out on August 23, so It was an ABC News item, and the headline was, Cryptic Pregnancy for Young Perth Couple Mean Plans for the Future Would Just Need a Bit of Adjusting. Apparently. Charissa's fact-checking me as I speak, and I would expect nothing less. That's why we need Charissa on the show, because we've got like a live in-studio fact-checker.
Uh-huh.
And apparently 1 in 2,500 pregnant women, and you've been pregnant, so you know all about it. So has our friend Shell and a whole bunch of other women out there. 1 in 2,500 women who are pregnant go through their entire pregnancy, even up to delivery, without knowing they are pregnant.
Amazing.
Now, I shared that fact with my wife, and she just thought I was mad. Like madder, I should say. She thought I was
pretty
madder.
Remarkable, but
so anyway, this is what it says. Caitlin Lutz went to an emergency department with abdominal cramps, only to be told she was 37 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
Just 24 hours later, she delivered a baby by emergency cesarean in what's known as a cryptic pregnancy. Now, I'd be really interested if our listeners could weigh in on this. Are there any listeners out there? Please, 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 if you are a listener out there or you know of some woman that's been pregnant and she had no idea until she delivered, please text us and let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that story.
Because I'm still wondering, how can you be 37 weeks pregnant and not realize it? Like, Charissa, please fill me in.
I can't.
You can't. Anyway, it was quite amazing.
What a wonderful surprise for them.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? So, no signs of pregnancy. And she says, you know, I didn't have any sickness or fatigue or weird appetite or anything like that. I had a normal cycle. She says, I even had the flu 5 weeks before having little bubs. And I went to the doctor, did all the full tests, and they never said anything at all.
Wow.
Like,
she wouldn't have felt any kicks either.
No.
It's amazing.
No, it is amazing. Like, it does baffle me. Like, there are mysteries in life. This would have to top the list for me. Like, for how can a woman be, you know, apparently 1 in 2,500.
Is that so?
Did you check me out to see if those?
I couldn't find that statistic, but I believe you.
Okay. So anyway, but you know what? Why I do raise that? Because Jesus talked about labor pains.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about labor pains, and you know, those of us who follow the scriptures, we can see the labor pains intensifying in frequency and intensity, as well as those lulls that Rachel talked to us about. You remember lulls that are in between the labor pains, which we could be in a lull right now.
That's right.
And with the significance of that. But I thought about that cryptic pregnancy.
Yes.
And the Bible actually says, Jesus says there's going to be many who will be caught completely by surprise when he comes.
I was thinking, joining those dots as you were speaking. That's a really great illustration.
In fact, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I was sharing this scripture. This is part of my series because, you know, that scripture on peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I believe is very much at the heart of the end time signs. But it's interesting that it uses that language. So maybe you want to begin in verse 1. Go read from verse 1 to verse 6, and it's very interesting.
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night.
Okay, let's just pause there.
Mm-hmm.
Does the thief give you any warning?
Never does.
No, did Jesus talk about the thief in the night?
He did.
Yes, he did. Okay, this is in connection with the timing of his coming.
Correct. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
Okay, so this is talking about those who are in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
They see the labor pains, and when they see those labor pains, they know what's coming. Okay, the cry of peace and safety is being heard during those. So the labor pains are the chaos and the confusion in the world. That is bringing about the cry for peace and safety, which is what we talk about every week.
Yes, that's right.
So these are God's people. And Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica.
Yes.
And he's saying, you know full well that this is what the state of the world will be like just before Jesus returns. And surely they must have known the words of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, all those things that would be intensifying before the final conflict.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've already shared this one, but I sent you a meme when I was in Fiji.
Oh, yes, I did. I shared that on our program.
Just reminds me of it right now.
Do you want to share that again?
Those who watch the news know what's going on in the world. Those who read the Bible know why.
Amen. And I'm going to be sharing that in Melbourne.
Mm, good.
I'm going to give credit to my co-host.
You don't have to give credit to me.
No, there is. You know why I'll give credit?
No.
Because that way I can advertise the Looking Up Show.
Then. Go ahead.
It's not really for you.
Yeah,
it's more for the Looking Up Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just used as a bit of a decoy.
That's fine.
You're okay with that? All right. And then keep reading. Okay. So now he transitions. Verse 4.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're not in darkness.
So you won't be surprised.
Uh-huh. Now, who's going to be surprised?
Those who are not in the Word.
Keep reading. Verse 5 and 6.
You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober.
Uh-huh. So, can you see? Here we have those who are experiencing cryptic labor pains. A cryptic pregnancy.
Mm.
Okay. They don't realize. They don't see the signs of the times. They do not read the scriptures. Like you said, they watch the news, but they're not watching in the Word, and they don't connect the dots. They don't realize that we are getting to the end of time.
That's right.
And he says, we're not in darkness. We've got the scriptures. And that's what this show is all about, folks. The Looking Up Show is all about helping us to realize the times that we're living in so we can continue to look up, because indeed our redemption is drawing near. So when people watch the debate between Kamala and Donald, when they watch the debate, when CNN, NSNBC,
ABCD,
ABCDEFG, when they all unpack and analyze the debate, guess what they're looking at it from? They're
looking at here and now.
From the here and now. They are in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
be it Fox, I don't care who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are all in darkness. But you and I, we see where things are going from a prophetic point of view. We've got the prophetic glasses on.
Mm.
And so we've got insights. We're sons of light, as Paul writes. We're not of the dark. Mm. We're not of the darkness. And so we know what's going on so that we can then give the trumpet a certain sound.
Amen.
Talking about trumpets, Donald Trump. And it's, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about, more about that. But I thought that was
that's
really,
a very
really.
Good, yeah. Good.
Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, cryptic pregnancy, that's what I thought of.
Mm.
So, feel free to use that analogy.
That's a good one.
All right. So, in connection with, you know, what's going on in America, and people need to be reminded, just in case you're tuning in for the very first time, the rest of the world is obviously very much focused and zeroed in on America, you know, the most powerful nation on the planet, you could say, the lone superpower for political, for economic, social, whatever other reasons or a combination of those. But we are focused on the United States of America because of Bible prophecy.
Correct.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Bible prophecy. So now if we go to Bible prophecy, so we're going to just set a bit of a platform here before we take a look at some of these headlines and how they dovetail into Bible. We go to Revelation 13 and we go there every time almost. There we have a description of the United States of America. Revelation 13 verses 11 to 17 describes the United States coming onto the scene of history as well as the role that it will play, especially in connection with faith and liberty of conscience, and the final showdown, the final worship showdown. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So have a look at Revelation 13:11 and have a look at how it describes this nation that would arise.
All right. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
Okay. So who's the lamb?
Jesus.
Jesus. So was America formed to be a Christ-like nation, like the principles of Christ
yes.
embedded in its constitution?
Yes.
Absolutely. And what would they be? What are those principles?
Religious freedom, religious
yeah.
liberty.
Religious liberty.
Religious
and
civil freedom.
And the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life, liberty,
mm-hmm.
and the pursuit of happiness for how many?
For everyone.
For everyone. The Statue of Liberty mm-hmm. in New York Harbor. So this nation was founded on the principles of liberty. And they are most precious because that is at the heart of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God created us as loving beings because we have the capacity to choose. We are free. And there's nothing better than freedom.
Amen.
You know, that's why it's called the land of the
free.
And the home of the very brave.
Mm-hmm.
The very part I've included because that's where things are at. But it speaks like who?
A dragon.
Okay. Now, who's the dragon?
Well, previous chapter, Revelation 12, verse
mm-hmm.
9,
mm-hmm.
yeah, says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Satan.
Satan. Satan is the primary agent who is described as the dragon.
Mm.
Okay. And we've got in Revelation 12, earlier on, the dragon that represents pagan Rome. Okay, pagan
That's
Rome
right.
that wants to destroy baby Jesus.
That's right.
Okay, we have that at the beginning of Revelation
Satan
12.
Worked through pagan
Rome. Satan works through pagan Rome,
mm-hmm.
exactly. So the dragon is Satan. So this Christ-like nation turns and becomes satanic-like.
Mm-hmm.
Through its what? Through its speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does a nation speak?
To its laws.
Mm-hmm. And legislative body.
Yes.
Okay. So this is telling us that the Constitution of America, mm-hmm. the Constitution of the United States of America, that prohibits forced worship, that prohibits coercion when it comes to worship. That's the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the prohibition thereof. So Congress cannot establish a religion or cannot prohibit you from practicing your religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Christ-like. Now, for the devil to become the one leading this nation that has established itself on Christ-like principles, what must happen to that constitution?
Has to be destroyed.
Has to be destroyed. Now, is that a big deal? Can you just destroy the Constitution just like that?
It's a huge deal. It's the fabric of a society that you know, it's the founding document.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm going somewhere with this, Charissa. You must be thinking, Danny, where is he going with this reasoning?
Yeah.
In order to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America, the First Amendment, in mm-hmm. order to do that, mm-hmm. what must happen in the United States of America?
The Constitution's got to go?
Yeah, but how is that going to happen? That's not going to happen under normal circumstances.
Something big's got to happen.
Okay, that's where we're going with it.
Yeah.
Something big, something massive, something like that has never, ever happened in all of U.S. history, including the Civil War.
Whoa, you're going somewhere.
Oh, have mercy, have mercy. All right, I think you know what I'm cooking, and I'm going to spit the beans after this because
all right.
We have to stop right here.
We do, but he's going to tell us something amazing. Mercy Me, bringing to us now Word of God Speak. And after that, Daniel will share more. So stay with us.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
That was Mercy Me bringing to us Word of God Speak, and you're listening to the Looking Up program. We're going to give away our code word now. I think now's a good time. The code word for today's giveaway, the giveaway is, I should remind you, Steps to Christ, beautiful book by Ellen G. White. And if you haven't read it, you must read it. You'll want to reread it and read it over and over again. It's just such a wonderful book and impactful for your walk with Jesus. So today, the code word for the 12 copies that we have, if you want to be one of those winners, the code word is
LU24 Steps.
Okay, LU24 Steps, STEPS. Text that LU24 Steps through to our studio number 0488-817-624. And if you're one of the first 12 people to do this, this book is coming to you as a gift from us.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, we all took our breath. We all took a big breath.
You better spill the beans now.
All right, spilling the beans. Okay, so how do we get to Revelation 13:11 in reality? Okay, in order for Revelation 13:11 to be fulfilled and verse 12, do you want to read verse 12 mm-hmm. before I carry on?
Uh-huh. And he exercises...
He's the United States of America.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay, so this is this first beast, the Roman papacy, and the United States will enforce the dictates of the Roman papacy at the end of time, which will be the merger of church and state, which is that dragon-like principle. Okay, so that's going to happen. Now, how is this going to happen? This is not just going to happen because, you know, a couple of individuals are having a very toxic debate or there's ideas. This is not some. This is the Constitution of the United States. Like you said, the bedrock of this society. As goes the Constitution, so goes the country.
Mm-hmm.
So goes the country. In order for this to take place, the United States must be brought to a point of complete and utter chaos. Complete and utter chaos. There is no way you are destroying the Constitution and imposing religious mandates against the liberty of conscience of the 300 plus million individuals unless there is complete chaos, confusion, and disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That movie that came out this year, Civil War, interestingly describes that. A civil war.
Yeah.
This is not the 1860s when they're firing cannons and there's these, you know, pretty old-fashioned guns. This is a civil war with the kind of weaponry that we have there, you know, and they've got guns. They're loaded to the teeth with guns, and all that needs to happen is a spark needs to be lit. Now, there's a Latin saying. Not sure if you've come across it before, Charissa, or if our listeners have, certainly those in Townsville, because I shared it there in my Globalism New World Order seminar. But the Latin phrase is ordo ab cao. Ordo ab cao.
I've never heard of it.
It literally means out of chaos comes order. Out of chaos comes order. How do you bring in a new world order? Because this is a new world order that's being described here in Revelation 13:11, beginning in the United States and spreading throughout the world, as we know. How will that happen? Chaos. Out of chaos comes order. It's the only way. It's always been the way. World War II. After World War II, there was a new world order that was established. After World War I, there was a new world order that was established. After the what's called the Napoleon Wars, Napoleonic Wars, like that. But anyway, the wars in connection with the end of the 18th century when the United States was being formed, there was a new world order that was established.
Yeah.
So after any or every major chaotic event in human history, there's been a new world order that's been established where they're like, okay, how are we going to make this work? We need to start afresh. As you do, you know, you go bankrupt and then you start afresh. You know, you may have one relationship that doesn't work out well, one marriage that doesn't work out well, and you go back to the drawing board. And if you decide to get married a second time, guess what? You decide to rethink how you're going to go about this relationship. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Just how it
makes
works.
Sense.
It works like that in every capacity. Now, what's fascinating to me, now, I believe that's where the United States is heading. And I shared with you the other day, and I think you read those stats out from that Time magazine article that from August 5, 2024, you know, that was entitled Darkness Rising. Remember that one?
Yes.
Darkness Rising, an attack on former President Trump punctuates the alarming surge of political violence. Okay, and you read out those stats, and I won't do that this time. But I just want to read to you once again what a former Pennsylvania Republican representative. And where was this debate held?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. I've got something else to say on that. But this is Charlie Dent. He's a former Pennsylvania Republican representative. And this is what he wrote. Oh, sorry. This is what he said. And it was in that article. Listen to these words. He writes, and I think he sums it up perfectly. And this is why I believe we are heading to this arbor od kao, you know, out of chaos comes order. He says the state of American politics is so miserable, so ugly that it's unrecognizable. And that is so true. Look, I haven't followed previous debates. I think I tuned into Hillary and Donald like back in 2016. I think I might have caught some of the 2020 with Biden.
The temperature right now is pretty high.
it's never been higher. But I'm pretty sure if you go back and listen to debates from 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I think the first debate that was ever held on TV was between Nixon and JFK. That was the first debate, I think in 1960, if I remember what they said. So if you go back 64 years, and I'm sure it's on YouTube there, listen to the rhetoric. Listen to how they are speaking to one another and what they're talking about and compare that to 2024. I'm telling you, it'll be a world of difference as far as content and principle and just decency, just decency.
Yeah, I imagine. All right. Let
me keep reading. He says, one side says the elections are rigged and we won't have a country if we don't win. The other side says democracy will cease to exist and the country will lapse into a fascist authoritarian society. Both sides see the other as evil and illegitimate. At this rate, these are his words, at this rate, the country could experience civil disorder after the election, regardless of the outcome. And we've been saying that.
For sure.
We've been saying that. So I believe the writing's on the wall. I believe the only thing that's going to stop serious civil disorder post November 5 is the angels of heaven. If those four winds are restrained, otherwise, if God lets those winds go, regardless of who wins, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, well, they're anticipating that, aren't they?
It's going to be chaos. Yeah. Now, what's fascinating, Charissa, is that, yeah, this debate was held in Philadelphia, which is like a swing state that, you know, both sides feel that they have to win in order to, you know, gain the presidency and the White House. Philadelphia is where it was held in the Philadelphia Constitution Center.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up. Now, why is Philadelphia such a big deal? Well, Philadelphia is the place where the United States was born. In fact,
City of brotherly love.
City of brotherly love? No. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. We didn't see much of that, did we?
No, we didn't.
At the debate. But it's nicknamed the birthplace of America. The birthplace of America. And it's interesting that Pope Francis, when he came to visit in 2016, 2015, he went to Philadelphia. Do you remember that? He went to Philadelphia there in some of those places and he was talking about religious freedom and the importance of religious freedom and the United States and this religious freedom torch that it has passed on to the rest of the world in the last 250 years. Anyway, this is what took place in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, the Declaration of Independence was signed. The Constitutional Convention that brought about the Constitution took place in 1787, and it was the first capital of the United States of America.
I did not know that.
It was the largest largest city with a population back then, and it became the first capital, and it was the capital of the United States from 1790 to the year 1800.
Wow.
And so here we are. Here we are in the constitutional center of this great nation that God has blessed more than any other, and this toxic division is being displayed for not only the United States but for the world to see. So look, there's going to be some very interesting times ahead, so we'll see how we go on that. Now there is one thing that was not spoken of in the debate.
What was that?
This is the elephant in the room. This is the elephant in the room. I told you there's so much to catch up on. Yeah. Look at that. We're barely, alive.
He's still getting through his stack of articles here.
Can you believe it? Anyway, the one thing that was not discussed, and this is all part of this meltdown that will happen in the United States, it's going to sweep like a tsunami throughout the entire world. The one thing that no one's talking about, neither Kamala nor Trump, not even the networks are talking about, is the United States debt. the United States debt. Now,
no one wants to talk about
One wants to talk about that. I'll tell you why. This is a disaster. Okay. It's an absolute disaster. This was an ABC News headline. And it was, when was it? August 27th. So that's not that long ago. And this was the headline: Donald Trump and Kamala Harris go quiet on America's biggest economic issue. Okay. It says that neither side wants to talk about the debt. Okay. Mm-hmm. That both camps have been responsible for. Now, I've got to show you this, my friend.
Yeah.
You've got to see this. The national debt. Okay. And this is, I've got a graph here in front of me that I'm looking at. I don't know if you can see that very well. You've got the debt here, the US debt. And from about, it starts to really skyrocket from about 1983. I can just see here. Well, so 1983, that was, that, if I remember correctly, that was like the stock market crash or something.
Uh-huh.
And from there, it just skyrockets. It's like a cliff. It's not even looking like a mountain. It's like a cliff on this graph that was on this ABC. And it's at what number right now? You've got it there.
35, I don't even know how. Can you tell me how?
Trillion.
Big? Yeah. So while you're talking there, there's a website called the US Debt Clock.
Mm-hmm,
and you go there and you can see it in live, real time. It's just climbing. The number's just ticking over right now.
It's ticking over. So this tells us that this country is headed for absolute disaster. And as goes the United States economy.
It's a very good point.
So goes our economy. And there's another graph here that was in this article. And from the year 2000 all the way to our day, they have been racking up trillions after trillions of debt every single year.
Mm-hmm.
The last time they had a surplus budget in the United States was in the year 2001. That was it. That was the last time. After that, it's just been going through the roof. And so this guy is saying that, you know, American politics may be entertaining. It may be entertaining for, you know, those of us who, you know, sit back wherever we may be, around the world, and we think, oh, that's interesting. That's a bit of fun. You know, interesting to hear what Donald Trump says, all these crazy things. And you know, it is. It's like a movie kind of script, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why a lot of people tune into American politics, not because they're really interested.
Yeah.
Because they don't live in America.
People treat everything like it's a movie too. It's like, there's some serious things at stake.
Exactly. So they're like, this is kind of like some Hollywood movie. Americans tend to sort of drum everything up like a production. I mean, everything's a production. You look at their conventions, you know, the Democratic, the Republican conventions and so forth. Everything's like bigger than Ben-Hur. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's Hollywood. Everything's like a Hollywood drama in America, including their politics.
Mm.
And this is what he says. The guy that writes this article, this is how he concludes his article. He says, these are his words. He says, it might be entertaining, but it certainly isn't funny.
Mm.
It might be entertaining what's going on, but it certainly isn't funny.
Well said.
So this tells me there's a potential new world economic order on the horizon.
Hmm.
Does Revelation 13 have something to say about dollars and cents and the end game?
Yeah, it does.
Well, can you please tell us, Charissa? Fill us in.
You're talking about the buying and selling?
I think I might be.
So the same chapter, Revelation 13, and we're looking now at verse
16 and 17.
He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. That's pretty much everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All categories covered, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And we're going to have to continue this thought.
There's more. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
That's right. So let's listen to Pete James bring to us this song, Talk to Jesus, and then we'll talk more about this iceberg.
When your world is filled with color, brighter than a supernova shines, talk to Jesus. echoes fade to gray. Silence seems the only song to sing. Talk to Jesus. No one knows you like He knows you. No one loves you like He loves you. You are safe within the Savior's love. Talk to Jesus. That spoke creation, speak a gentle whisper deep within. Talk to Jesus, for His heart is filled with kindness, and His ear will never turn away. Talk to Jesus. No one knows you like He knows you. No one loves you like He loves you. You are safe within the Savior's love. Talk to Jesus.
James, Talk to Jesus, and you are listening to the Looking Up program. A reminder of today's giveaway, Steps to Christ, the code word we released in the previous segment. If you'd like to be in the running for this, we have 12 copies available today. The code word is LU24STEPS. Step plural, steps. LU24STEPS for Steps to Christ. Text that through to 0488-817-624. Well, Pastor Danny, you are about to just tell us something remarkable.
Okay, so dollars and cents are very much going to be part of the New World Order at the end of time. The Bible's very clear on that in Revelation 13, because you cannot have this prohibition on buying and selling unless you have a system in place that will prevent people who don't want to go along with this worship mandate to be able to buy and sell. And of course, we've talked about central bank digital currencies. We've talked about digital IDs. We've talked about all this, which is on the horizon, and that, that we're going cashless more and more. We're going cashless. What's fascinating to me is that the economy is front and center in Revelation 18. In Revelation 18, we've got Babylon established at the end of time. So we've got different phases of Babylon,
right,
from the Tower of Babel. Okay. We've got, Abraham leaving, Babylon to move into the land of Canaan. You've got King Nebuchadnezzar. You've got pagan Rome described as Babylon. You've got this Babylon through the Dark Ages. And then you've got this end time Babylon. Okay. And this end time Babylon system at the end of time is where church and state, you know, where religion and politics come together. That brings about these mandates from in Revelation 16, 17 and 16 and 17 that we've just read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's fascinating to me is that at the end of time, there will be a new economic system that will be established, as there was at the end of World War II, the Bretton Woods Agreement, as it is known, where the American dollar became the standard currency for the world. That was after World War II. At the end of time, there's going to be another new economic order because, as I've pointed out, the American system is on life support. It's not working. It's $35 trillion. So if you have a look at Revelation 18,
all right,
and there it says that it's only going to last a short time, 1 hour, and notice what it says. If you want to read Revelation 18, and verse 9.
The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning.
Okay, so this is Babylon that mm-hmm. is falling apart. How long will Babylon last? Verse 10.
Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come."
So one hour is symbolic, not of 60 minutes, uh-huh. but it's symbolic in Bible prophecy for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Jesus said to his disciples, "Could you not even watch?
For 1 hour.
For 1 hour," when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're talking about a small amount of time. This is a short time at the end of time. So the kings of the earth, that would be the political leaders, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, now have a look at verse 11. Let's notice who else is weeping and mourning.
It says, "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore."
Mm-hmm.
So political leaders, kings.
Yep.
And economic.
These are the economic powerhouses of our world that drive the world economy. These are the stock markets.
Yeah.
These are the big bankers. These are the, you know, the big tech companies and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
They will all mourn.
And then it goes on telling about what they can't sell.
It does. It does. And then it goes on and it talks about the shipmaster. How are goods transported?
Mm-hmm.
Via the sea. Have a read of verse 17.
"For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance."
And read verse 18.
"And cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'"
And verse 19.
"And they threw that dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.'"
Wow, there you go.
That's amazing.
So this is the destruction. Okay, so this will all be taking place at the very end of time. So in order for this to take place, in order for Revelation 18 and this 1 hour, this short time at the end of time with the kings of the earth and the merchants, you've got to have a new economic system that is established.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that, and that is where everything is heading.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there in the open. This is not conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've talked about that YouTube clip that came from the World Government Summit, the 8th World Government Summit back in 2022, where the panel discussion was addressing the question, are we ready for a new world order? Are we ready for a new world order? And the moderator, Becky Anderson, I remember she put it out there and she says, "Are we ready?" And there were four panelists there, and one of them who was like a pretty well-known banker, someone that's dealt in the economic industry for a long time. She said, "It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we are going to go digital.
Mm.
The currency is going to go digital and programmable."
Wow.
"And this is going to help solve a lot of problems, climate change and a whole bunch of other problems and money laundering and crime and the list goes on and on."
Interesting.
The governments will have full control of how and when you use your money,
mm-hmm.
to ensure that you're a good citizen, to ensure that you are focused on being part of the common good in this common home that is for all of us. So this is all taking place. Now, the Bible says that, and this is where we're going to go to for some other stories. This is just incredible how we're just seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled. So we're going to transition from there to the previous chapter in Revelation 17, and let's find out what Bible prophecy says. Who is the one that is going to lead the world? In Revelation 13, we discovered, and you read earlier, that the United States will make an image to the beast. Well, it goes on and talks about that. Will give authority to this first beast of Revelation 13, which is the Roman papacy. Now, have a look at who the world government leaders will give their authority to, will ask them to lead in this new world order, because someone has to lead it.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13.
This is amazing.
This is amazing.
All right. Verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour.
How long?
Short time.
For how long?
1 hour.
How long does the economy, this new world economy, last?
1 hour.
Before it goes to pot? Yep. All right.
For 1 hour as kings with the beast.
Aha. So they will rule together for a short time with the beast. The 10 kings are in reference to what? All the world's political leaders. 10 meaning global, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 13.
These are of one mind.
How many minds?
One.
Does that sound like a new world order?
Yeah.
A one world
order? They're all in agreement.
They're all on the same page. Keep going.
And they will give their power and authority to the beast.
There you go. Now, you know what's fascinating? History is being repeated. This thought just came into my mind right now. So when things come into my mind, I am like, I've got to do a quick check. Should I share it? Because it's just coming to my mind. Have a look. It says, they will give their power and authority to the beast. Go over to Revelation 13 and let's find out what happened almost 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 13, verse 4. Revelation 13 and verse 4.
Okay. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him?
Okay. So this is speaking of this power, this beast. Okay.
Even verse 2.
Yes. Oh,
at the end of verse 2.
Actually, verse 2. Yes. Do you want to read that?
I'll read just the last part of it. It says, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority.
Okay. So Satan is the ultimate dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But he has another dragon-like representative, and that was pagan Rome.
That's right.
Who gave the Roman papacy its power, throne, and great authority?
Pagan Rome.
Pagan Rome. Was that the world dominant power?
The other gives to the other.
Was that the world dominant power?
Yes.
Back in the days of Rome?
Yes.
Yes, of course. It was the Roman power, the Roman Empire. That was the global empire. Well, not a global empire the way we understand global empires today, that ruled over Europe and beyond, North Africa and so forth. That was the global empire, the Iron Monarchy of Rome.
Yeah.
So that was, you could probably say safely, and I'm not a brilliant historian, but you could safely say that pagan Rome or the Roman Empire was the most powerful empire at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been a Chinese empire. There may have been an Indian empire. I don't know. I don't know about that right now, but let's just say that the Roman Empire was the most powerful empire of the then known world at that particular point in time in history.
It was.
Okay. And it gave its power and authority to the Roman papacy. Who is the most powerful entity today in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What nation is the most powerful nation on the planet today?
The United States.
The United States of America. Who gives authority and power to the Roman papacy at the end of time for the dictates of the Roman papacy to be rolled out worldwide?
The United States of America.
Can you see history is repeating?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting too because when I was over there in Washington, D.C., at one of the stations, is a famous one, I think it's Central Station, but it looks like it's a little bit like Rome, actually, like all the sculptures they have around the station, it's like it's another Rome.
Well, Washington Congress looks like very much like the Vatican.
Yeah,
you put the two pictures side by side, it's like, which one's which? You know, there's so much architecture that is very, very similar. Now, okay, so we've got that. So we've got these nations giving power and authority to the Roman papacy. Now, I was I'm going down to Melbourne, as you know, and I shared this when I was in Townsville, but I found it because this is a Time magazine that I've kept. This is from September 28, 2015. So shortly after Pope Francis was inaugurated, okay, as Pope. And this was the headline on the Time magazine, front cover, The New Roman Empire. Subtitle, The Global Reach of Pope Francis. The global reach of, this is straight out of Bible prophecy.
Yeah, it is.
This is straight out of Bible prophecy because Pope Francis has been very busy and he's still on this longest tour of his pontificate. Do you know that this 12, 13, 14 day tour, this 4 day tour where he's in the Asia Pacific, where he started off with Indonesia, by the way, the largest Muslim population in the world of a nation, Indonesia. Then he went to PNG. Then he went to Timor. Well, he's in Timor Leste. I'm not sure how you say that right now. And then he's finishing off with Singapore. So isn't that fascinating?
It is.
He, and do you know what his, here are some headlines. And let me bring up, where are these headlines? Where are these headlines? Oh, I've got these headlines somewhere here. Here we go. This was a headline from ABC News, September 2, just prior to his departure from Rome, heading to Indonesia. And this was a headline, Pope Francis heads to Asia Pacific to bring messages of peace and unity. And guess who he met with while he was there?
Who?
The Bible talks about peace and what?
Safety.
Yeah. And in Daniel chapter 8, we've looked at it before. The papacy will be seen as the agent of peace and safety at the end of time. We've looked at that. You know, we've unpacked that in the past. He met with the Grand Imam of Istiqlal Mosque. His name is Nasiruddin Umar. And he met with him in order to discuss the common ground between religious communities and emphasize the commonalities between religions, ethnicities, and beliefs. So he's on this peace-making tour, bringing everyone together. And there's everything good about peace. Okay, mm-hmm. We believe in peace. We believe in unity. Absolutely. But at what cost? So this is this one mind, gathering the nations. I mean, look, the global reach of Pope Francis, the new Roman Empire. It's right there on the front cover of Time magazine.
Mm.
So this is telling us that we need to keep looking up. Because Jesus is drawing near. So it's really, really fascinating. And, you know, just the way he's using his influence in order to gather the world together for this common good, this common cause, peace and safety.
Yeah.
That will bring the world together, but at what expense?
Well, we've got more to share on these subjects and all the things that are happening. Pastor Danny's still got a lot of articles in front of him here. So let's listen now to James David Carter bring to us the song, Open My Eyes. And after that, we'll be sharing lots more.
Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to shall be last, and our eyes are open, and we're here like never before, and we'll speak in new ways, and we'll see God's face in places we've never known. Open
and my heart, Lord. Help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord. Help me to love. I live within.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Like a sunflower, keep your eyes on me. I will give you life. I have set you free.
You are listening to the Looking Up program, and time has just flown.
Sharissa said we're in our last segment. Can you believe it?
It is.
I thought it was fake news, but I looked and it's not fake news.
No, it's sadly true. But we've had a good time.
We have. We've really, really zeroed in on these headlines that are just straight out of Revelation.
We've probably caught up on 1 week's worth of
probably
headlines.
Probably 1 week. Yeah, probably 1 week.
Two more weeks to go. But reminder of the giveaway code word LU24 steps. If you text that all through, unbroken, just LU24 steps, text it through to our studio number 0488-817-624. You may have a chance to grab one of those copies of Steps to Christ, beautiful book.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, great book. We need that book, especially today. All right. Well, in this last section, as we wrap up, just a few more things just to highlight where Bible prophecy is heading and how the news headlines are literally speaking to us.
Mm.
You know, when Jesus said the rocks would cry out,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The rocks are crying out. And these news headlines from Time Magazine and from elsewhere are literally crying out, telling us that, yeah, we're on the verge of, the stupendous final events, potentially, if those angels let those winds go. And we've talked about the US. Now we're talking about the Roman papacy. And these two powers, interestingly enough, are at the forefront at the end of time. And they are the ones that are gaining the most publicity today, these two powers. This was from the Jakarta Post. Okay. So this is, an Indonesian newspaper. And just before Pope Francis arrived, this was the headline: Pope Francis, Power, Rivalry, and the Global Order. I'm telling you. What did I read here? The New Roman Empire, the Global Reach of Pope Francis, September 28, 2015. Okay, this is just now. All right. Let me read to you this little section here. Right underneath this photo of Pope Francis, it says, on September 3, Pope Francis will arrive in Jakarta for his two-week apostolic visit to Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Timor-Leste, and Singapore. Now notice these words. The pontiff is also expected to promote justice and humanity in the shaping of the global order.
Ah, they're all playing into what the Bible says. It's happening.
They're all following the same script.
Mm-hmm.
We have not believed in cunningly devised fables.
Praise the Lord.
We could not have shared this 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This was just not unfolding the way it is. And we've just had 3 weeks of you being away. And there's been
I should
a tsunami.
Go away again.
No, don't do that, because I'll never catch up. All right. What's fascinating, And just to see this incredible global reach of Pope Francis and the Church of Rome, we had this Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention that took place. And guess who the two individuals were that were invited to give the opening convocation opening prayer?
I have no idea.
There were two Catholic priests.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And, And it was fascinating. Let me see if I can find it here. I would desperately want to find it. Here we go. I think this is it. And it's interesting at, yeah, so they're both Catholics. Okay. And there's a lot of Catholics. The Catholics may be the ones that decide who ends up in the White House. Because there's about 20% of the adult population in the United States is Catholic.
Wow.
Right. About 70 million people. Okay. Potential voters. All right. And both sides are looking to court the Catholic vote because generally speaking, whoever has won the Catholic vote has won the presidency in the past.
I didn't know that.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's why you're on the Looking Up show.
That's right. I'm learning a lot right now.
All right. So this was from Cardinal Kupich who prayed at the Democratic Convention. And by the way, I didn't know this. Because I didn't watch the convention, I watched bits and pieces of it. But God or references to God were mentioned more times in a positive sense at the Democratic Convention than the Republican Convention.
Really?
Absolutely. That's what I thought at first.
When I heard the Republican Convention, I thought it sounded like a Christian meeting.
Well, apparently, you know, God was not far from the agenda at the Democratic Convention.
That's interesting.
Even though
I didn't get to watch any of it.
No, no. Anyway, let me show you. You can't make this stuff up. Listen to this, my friend. All right. This is his prayer or part of his prayer. Okay. So I'll actually just read it because I think it's really fascinating, especially this last part. He says, "Let us pray. We praise you, O God of all creation, quickening us a resolve to protect your handiwork." Interesting. He focuses on creation. And there's a reason for that as we'll look further into this prayer. "You are the source of every blessing that graces our lives and our nation. But as we pray," notice these words now, "we must also act. For building up the common good takes work." Who talks about the common good over again? Our common home, common good. It's Pope Francis' language.
That's
Pope Francis' language. It says it takes love, and so we pray, "May our nation become more fully a builder of peace in our wounded world, with the courage to imagine and pursue a loving future together. And let this new chapter of our nation's history be filled with overwhelming hope, a hope that refuses to narrow our national vision." Okay, so that's all good. Now notice, this is all in his prayer. But rather, as Pope Francis has said, to dream dreams and see visions of what, by your grace, our world can become. We ask all this, trusting in your providential care. And he signs off, amen.
Wow.
He invokes Pope Francis in his prayer at the Democratic Convention. Okay. This is fascinating. Now.
So you know what? It doesn't really matter who becomes.
It doesn't matter. That's the
president
point.
Because that's the point. Both sides can play into that biblical.
That's the point. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, Revelation 13:11, it says it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides will be united. And the reason why both sides will be united, it'll be because spiritualism will be the glue that brings all sides. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You can read about it, Revelation 13. Yeah. It doesn't say that the Democrats or the Republicans will be the ones. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't even say that politics will drive the final showdown. It doesn't even say that. Notice what will drive the final showdown that will bring about the no buy, no sell, even a death decree. Notice what the driving force will be. It's straight in Revelation 13 and beyond, and we miss it so much of the time. Revelation 13, verse 13 and 14.
Oh, yes, sorry, I was in.
Revelation 13, verse 13 and 14.
"He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who is wounded by the sword and live."
All right, okay. We have to just pause here. This image of the beast will be formed, okay? The church-state union will be formed. It's going to be rolled out throughout the entire world. What will be the instigator for bringing this about? We've just read it.
Mm-hmm.
Through signs and through miracles.
Signs and wonders.
And wonders, and even bringing fire down from heaven. Now, fire from God,
Holy
coming
Spirit,
from heaven,
Pentecost.
Holy Spirit, Pentecost, the
inauguration
Ten Commandments.
Of the temple.
Exactly, and the sanctuary, Nadab and Abihu. You've got
Elijah
with those 50 men that were sent by the king.
Mm-hmm. Mount Carmel,
all the way through. Fire is representative of this is from God. This is the handiwork of God. This is initiated by God. This is God's will, right? So when you have this false fire, and we know that Satan can bring fire down from heaven, according to the book of Job, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's a bit of both, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But basically what Revelation 13 is telling us, that this image of the beast that will be formed, that will throw the constitution under the bus, will be seen as the way forward, will be seen that this is God's will to bring the nation back from the brink, because we have created chaos and disorder, and we need a new world order with God at the helm.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it's going to be through spiritualism, signs, miracles, and wonders.
Just on this note, there's a ministry that put out this news clip.
Mm.
It was one of the news anchors from Fox News,
mm-hmm.
and he invited onto his show fortune teller, I think, mm-hmm. to tell everybody who's going to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was spiritualism.
Absolutely.
Like, so tell us who's going to win.
Well, not just on Fox News, but spiritualism is throughout Hollywood. Yeah. All the big Hollywood movies. We've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I Googled again just the other day because I was sharing up in Townsville. The top 20 box office hits of all time, movies of all time. About 15 of them are spiritualistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got spiritualism woven all the way through, from Star Wars to Lord of the Rings to Avatar to you name it, to the Marvel series. Spiritualism all the way through, the
people
music.
People are led to believe what they see.
Absolutely. The Olympics.
Whatever their senses are.
The Olympics closing ceremony, sister.
Say no more.
The closing ceremony, if that was not the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit at the end of time, I don't know what is. It's like straight up and down. We've got 4 minutes left. Okay. It's interesting that our mate, talking about, you know, the Catholics being wooed and how this is a big deal, we've got Donald Trump, who in a tweet on his Truth Social account, he tweeted, "Happy birthday, Mary." Did you know that?
When did he do that?
He did that just a couple of days ago. When did he post that? On September 8th.
Really?
Yeah, 9:36 in the evening. So somebody would have told him about it, because he wouldn't have known for sure. So where do they get Mary's birthday on September 8th? Well, that's something that's just been made up by the Church of Rome. They've got three significant days that they celebrate.
Huh.
One of them is Christmas, December 25.
Yeah.
The other one is supposedly the day that John the Baptist was born. Did you know the day John the Baptist was born? Actually, the day that my youngest daughter was born, June 24. June 24. I'll have to tell her that she shares a birthday with John the Baptist.
Like, how do they know when Mary's birthday was?
And they say Mary's birthday was on September 8th. So anyway, people can go Google that and how they... But anyway, he wished her a happy birthday.
That's interesting.
Now, what do Catholics believe about Mary? Is she dead or is she alive?
She's alive.
And
that's what they believe.
She's the mediator.
That's right, mediatrix.
Mediatrix, yeah. She's a co-mediator with Christ. So is there going to be signs, miracles, and wonders to deceive?
Mm.
Can Satan transform himself into an angel of light?
Yes.
And supposedly Mary? Are there Marian apparitions happening more and more?
Yes.
So we're being set up.
Something big.
Absolutely. The truth about death and spiritualism. And there's one thing that all the world religions have in common, and that's believing in life after death.
That's a good point.
They all have that in common.
Yes.
Hollywood's pumping that out.
Yes.
All the world religions are pumping that out, and that's going to be the glue that's going to bring the Republicans and the Democrats, the conservatives, the liberals, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Christians, the atheists, the agnostics, you name them, everyone's coming together to support this new world order, this image of the beast that will be established when church and state rules and reigns, and persecution once again kicks in. We can see it all taking place.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh, I don't know what else to say on that. there's so much more to share. And so we are there, and we can see that things are happening. Let's talk a little bit about Australia and what's been happening here. You remember that story, Tickle versus Giggle?
No, I don't. But
what are you pointing to?
Don't worry about
that. Okay. Tickle versus Giggle. Do you remember that transgender woman who took the Roxanne Tickle.
Yes.
She took and sued the CEO of Giggle for Girls, which is this social app just for girls, because she's trans. And so even though she was able to get onto the platform, but she was taken off. And she's sued, and she won the case in the Australian High Court. So transgender woman exclusion from female-only app was unlawful, judge finds. So why am I bringing this up? Because the religious right and the conservatives are like, this can't go on any longer. They're like, this cannot go on any longer. We need a change. And the Australian Christian Lobby are having a gathering, their 30th anniversary dinner. And guess what the headline is, what their theme is?
Tell us.
The tide can turn. Do I need to explain that? The tide can turn.
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying? We need to change things. We need God back. We need the values, the Christian values. Everything's going to pot. You know, we're in trouble. Kids in libraries at the age of 5 are being asked what is their gender status. This is enough. They're saying enough is enough. The tide can turn. It must turn. And this will bring that final pendulum swing that Revelation 13 talks about.
We are so close.
We are right there.
Yeah.
It's all been set up.
It has. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I think you probably got more, right?
I've got lots more for next week.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. I feel like I finally know what happened in the world for the last 3 weeks. Thank you so much
Jesus
for sharing.
Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah.
Amen. We've got Candy and Daryl Kuhn bringing to us a beautiful song now, Quiet Times, and we have some final thoughts after that.
Quiet times in a quiet room. How good does it feel to be far away from the noise outside for a while, just for a while. Pray it easy to the Lord above and telling Him just how I feel. Reading the Holy Book like a child. It's nowhere as easy to find nowadays. There's people going every day. Ask them and they'll show you the way. You buy your ticket with pain and it's a one-way train. Just give me quiet times in a quiet room, just the Lord and my soul. A little touch of heaven comes into me. La la la. To find our days, there's people going every day. Ask them and they'll show you the way. You buy your ticket with pain and it's a one-way train. Just give me quiet times in a quiet room. How many good times I've had spending an hour with Jesus. Down on my knees, down on my knees. Quiet times in a quiet room. Turns around things that were bad. Gives me hope and faith for as long as I please. Yes, it gives me hope. As long as I
pray. Amen. Candy and Daryl Coon bringing to us that beautiful song. And you have reached with us the very end of today's program.
Hasn't it been a real full on?
It's been a zinger.
It has been a zinger. That's probably a good way of describing it.
And there's more to come.
There is more to come.
But Pastor Danny, as we wrap up today, what would you like to leave with our listeners?
Just a final word. I'm going to look at a scripture in just a moment, but I have to share this Time magazine back in 2008, so April 14, 2008, on the eve of Pope Benedict's visit to the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So this is Time magazine, fascinating front cover, straight out of Revelation 13, and the front cover reads as so, why the Pope loves America. Why the Pope loves America. U.S. Catholics may confound him, but America doesn't. On the eve of his first papal visit, a look at how the U.S. has shaped Pope Benedict XVI. Mm. And then on the inside in the story, it refers to him as the American Pope. On the eve of Benedict XVI's first papal visit to the U.S., a revealing look at his long fascination with America and how it is shaping his vision for the world.
Mm.
Straight out of Bible prophecy. They have no idea. I'm sure they have no idea. Those at Time magazine, you know, the authors and the editors and the ones that, you know, put together these articles, they have no idea that they are speaking Bible prophecy.
They don't.
But we can see that it's all happening. So what can I share? I just feel impressed to go to, I guess, our theme passage, our theme passage for this show where we get, you know, the title, the Looking Up Show. And I'm going to begin in verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25, and I'm going to read through to verse 28, where Jesus says, in connection with his coming, he says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this is the time when they'll be crying out for peace and safety because of what we've just read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, Jesus goes on, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's the second coming of Jesus with all his angels. Amen. Then he goes on and says, now when these things begin to happen.
Begin to happen. They're already happening.
When you see these things on the horizon, when you see the writing on the wall, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near.
Amen.
So I'm really encouraged by these words because as I see all these things taking place around us, Charissa,
yes,
as we see the news headlines literally being a copy and paste,
yes,
of Bible prophecy,
yes,
a copy and paste, the global reach of Pope Francis. I mean, the Ten Kings, they give their power and authority to the beast. We've just read that, Revelation 17, Revelation 13:3. We didn't even read that. When all the world will wonder and marvel and follow the beast, you know, this beast power, this power that received a deadly wound over 200 years ago, that has had this miraculous resurrection unlike any other power in all of human history. There's never been anything like it. And all the world marvels and wonders. You know, when we see all these things taking place, when we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes, this should give us confidence in the scriptures, in Bible prophecy.
Yes.
And
we should be marveling at Jesus.
Absolutely.
Marveling at his word
and going out and sharing with people that Jesus is coming soon. He wants you to be part of his kingdom. He wants you, when he comes, to also look up and to say, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he has come to save us. Lo, he is the Lord. We will rejoice in his salvation. And that's Isaiah 25 and verse 9.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And I'm so excited that we can tell people that indeed he's coming soon.
Absolutely. It's not fake news.
No, it's real.
And it's sure. Thank you so much, Pastor Danny. Would you like to close in prayer?
Sure. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for the blessings of your word and the sure word of prophecy that we have. Lord, telling us that indeed the end of all things is at hand. Father, we do not want to be as the rest of the world, those who are in darkness. Because, Lord, you have called us to be sons and daughters of light, to share the light of the world with those around us who are in darkness. And ultimate The ultimate light of the world is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. People need to be drawn to him. They need to be pointed in his direction and his soon return. So, Father, we thank you for the things you've revealed. Guide and bless us. Be with all of our listeners, Lord, today and every day, and especially those down south in Seddon when I come down there, looking forward to meeting them. And I pray that you'll bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Danny, and thank you all for staying with us today. This time next week, as Pastor Danny said, we will not be here, but you will be enjoying a live program coming to you from the campground, I believe. Where was that campground?
South Queensland Conference.
South Queensland Conference campground. So that'll be something to look forward to. But we'll be back the week after.
Amen.
With an equally long backlog of stories and things to talk about. But we really look forward to your company then. And until then, we just want to remind you, as always, that fear looks around at what's happening in this world. Regret looks back. But faith always looks up. And now's the time to look to Jesus. So may God bless you. And we look forward to your company next time.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.